For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for joining us. The Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting that was planned for this month in Ketchikan will be held in Anchorage instead in March. The decision is a loss for Ketchikan's winter economy and is leaving some feeling cut out of the decision-making process. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The seven-person board decides on regulations for state-managed commercial sport and subsistence fisheries. It was scheduled to tackle over 150 proposals for southeast fisheries starting January 4th at the Ted Ferry Civic Center in Ketchikan after a year of pandemic-related postponements. This month it was postponed again because of rising COVID case counts in southeast. Now that meeting's planned to start March 10th at the Egan Center in Anchorage.
A lot of things at play, and I guess I would call it almost retreating at this point, but we're looking at conducting the rest of our meeting schedule in Anchorage.
Glenn Haight is the board's executive director.
You know, first thing is we want to try to get past this surge, and so no guarantees we can do that, but come March, we think it's a little safer than earlier. Gives us at least about a month and a half to get past it.
Haight says Anchorage's larger hospital capacity also played a role in the decision as the state sees COVID case numbers set new record highs this month. He says meetings for other parts of the state might be affected if the board postponed the southeast meeting further.
All indications I've got for the board is they really feel the need to get this meeting cycle done this year so they can move on to the next one next year. And any loading up that you do, postponing you do, is going to require likely enough additional budget, and you know that has its own set of challenges.
Because of the move, Southeast residents who can't travel to Anchorage will have a chance to testify remotely from some Department of Fish and Game offices during the meeting. The board will consider changes to herring fisheries first because herring seasons start up in March. Salmon and other finfish proposals will be next, followed by shellfish and groundfish. Leaders with Ketchikan's tribal and local governments say they're disappointed by the decision. Gloria Burns, president of Ketchikan Indian Communities Tribal Council, says KIC spent a great deal of time and energy preparing for in-person testimony by its members, with much of that centering around the traditional harvest of herring eggs. Now she says the meeting will take place during the heart of the herring egg harvest season.
It is almost feels as though from my perspective, this is just as though it's a purposeful intent to go ahead and keep the testimony that could have been provided from being provided in person.
The Southeast meeting includes proposals from both subsistence and commercial harvesters to change the state's management of the commercial sacro herring fishery in Sitka Sound. Ketchikan City Mayor Dave Kiefer says the move disenfranchises people from Southeast. He says phone or video testimony is not as effective, and he'd rather the meeting be rescheduled for a later date in Ketchikan. He calls the decision a double whammy for his community.
First of all, the financial impact of being able to have between 100 and 200 people come into town, staying in hotels, eating at restaurants, buying things. A simple fact that we'll lose at least $20,000 on renting our civic center. You know, you're looking easily $100,000 to $200,000 hit to our community that we were kind of counting on, given all the other economic issues that are swirling around us.
Other organizations like the Juneau-based hunting and fishing group Territorial Sportsmen and the commercial fishing organization Alaska Trollers Association last year asked for a delay until 2023 because of health concerns and COVID spread. Commercial salmon troller Matt Donahoe of Sitka says he'd prefer the meeting be held in Southeast, but he was concerned with holding an in-person gathering in Ketchikan. The biggest problem he now sees is the new dates overlap with the end of Southeast winter troll fishing.
These trollers were really, really a no-win choice of staying in town or going to Anchorage for the Board of Fish or getting that last trip in between the 10th and the 15th of March, which last year in 2021 was the most lucrative trip of the winter troll season.
Donahoe is hopeful the board will deal with salmon proposals at the end of the meeting. That would allow troll fishermen to finish up their season and attend the meeting as well. Other commercial fisheries for herring eggs, crab, halibut, and black cod are underway just before or after the new meeting date. The board also had a meeting scheduled in March on statewide shellfish proposals. Now that could be pushed back to later that month or into April. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
And the comment deadline for the Southeast meeting has been extended. It's now February 23rd. There's a March 3rd deadline to sign up for remote testimony. Juneau's River Bend Elementary School is closed through today because of extensive flooding in the building. Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss says a pipe near an exterior wall of the building burst earlier in the weekend. By the time Monday came around, there was a lot of water in the school.
I'd say probably two-thirds of the school was impacted with water, so pretty significant.
Weiss says the water is vacuumed up, and now it's a matter of waiting for the waterlogged floors to dry out. She says it's too early to tell how extensive the damage is. The Juneau School District will reevaluate the damage today and decide then if the school can open. If the school can't open up because of the damage, Weiss says the district will come up with a backup plan. She says she isn't sure what that plan will look like yet. All Juneau schools were closed yesterday because of weather conditions, and aside from Riverbend Elementary, were scheduled to reopen today. Ketchikan is almost out of at-home rapid COVID-19 test kits. The fire department started handing out free at-home kits provided by the state on December 13th in an effort to help residents avoid spreading the disease. But Acting Ketchikan Fire Chief Scott Baynard says they've distributed just about their entire lot of nearly 2,800.
We've put in a request for more home test kits for the public. And we are basically just having to wait for them to arrive.
He says he's put in an order for additional kits. He says state officials told him they hope to get more shipped to Ketchikan next week. Officials at the North Tongass Volunteer Fire Department said yesterday they are also out of kits. The South Tongass Fire Department had just a handful as of yesterday morning. The Ketchikan Public Library had about a dozen on hand yesterday afternoon. Ketchikan Public Health Center had just shy of 2 dozen test kits as of midday yesterday. The lead nurse told KRBD that the clinic had ordered more, but wasn't sure when they'd be delivered. Officials in Wrangell told public radio station KSTK yesterday that the community had nearly exhausted its supply of test kits as well. Test kits are generally limited to 2 per household. A landmark daily radio show has ended. For more than 3 decades, Alaska Fish Radio has brought news and perspectives on the fishing industry to listeners around the state. Izzy Ross in Dillingham spoke to the host, Lainey Welch, about her time reporting on Alaska's fishing industry.
If you listen to the radio in Alaska, or if you're involved in the fishing industry, you'll probably recognize this voice.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. When I came here, Izzy, I had never even seen a salmon. My life was codfish and haddock and lobsters.
Now 72, Welch came to Alaska in 1986 from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. She got a job producing the Alaska Fisheries Report at KMXT in Kodiak, where she learned the rhythms of commercial fisheries across the state.
I really cut my teeth on not only the fishing activity around the state, but marketing impacts and how Alaska fits into the whole global network of, the seafood commodities trade, which is the largest in the world.
Over the 6 years she worked there, the longtime news director of Dillingham's radio station, KDLG's Bob King, helped Welch learn the ropes of the industry.
5 different species fished with different gears at different times. I was clueless. And Bob King, there in Dillingham, just sort of took me under his wing and explained to me about the different salmon species and, you know, how they were fished. And he really saved my bacon, I'll tell you.
King helped Welch learn about salmon and crab because of Bristol Bay's sockeye and red king crab fisheries. And he suggested that Welch start writing for trade magazines.
I had name recognition with radio by that time after doing the Alaska Fisheries Report for 6 years. So it was really easy for me to get sponsors. I started writing a newspaper column at the request of the Anchorage Daily News in 1991. And, you know, the rest is history. Here I am, 30 radio stations and nearly 20 print publications, including 3 nationals, 30 years later.
Welch says what captured her attention was how fish influenced the economy. She says she thinks it's important for anyone who reads or listens to her work to understand how Alaska fits into the global commodities market. Those are her favorite shows, and they're the most popular.
On my website, those are the ones that I'll get huge spikes if I talk about crab markets or salmon markets or what the catch forecasts are. To me, it's all about the marketing of the seafood and, you know, where it goes, what makes it sell, what the trends are. Those are my favorites.
Reflecting on her work, she says much has stayed the same, but there have been some major changes.
Yes, Alaska has made big inroads in adding value to a lot of its products. For example, in your region, gosh, you know, 20 years ago, you know, maybe 70% of the sockeye pack would go into cans in Bristol Bay. Now that's more like maybe 20, 25% going into cans because the processors have diversified their markets more into fillet and specialty products.
But she says most of Alaska's seafood industry isn't as efficient or as innovative as places like Canada, Iceland, and Japan. A couple communities like Kodiak are using all of the fish, but that's an exception to the rule.
All of the other places, for the most part, are grinding up and dumping all those heads and the skins and livers and other parts that could go into, you know, a global multi-gazillion dollar market for collagens and chondroitins and oils, you know. So to me, that's something that I find that Alaska's getting left behind on.
Welch will continue to write a weekly column for the Anchorage Daily News.
Maybe I'll get into podcasting. Like I said, I want to get into some blogging. And who knows? I think there's going to be a lot of unexpected things that will come my way that I haven't even thought of yet.
She says she's ready for a new adventure. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. Today is Wednesday, the 12th of January, 2022. I'm Joe Vicnicki, and this is our weekly check-in with the National Weather Service in Juneau. Joined again online this week by meteorologist Grant Smith. Hi, Grant.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, it's the past week we've seen some of the snow melt away and some warming temperatures. What have you been looking at for statistics and that kind of thing from your office?
Yeah, well, you know, for starters, it was certainly been a snowy season, a cold season. Just last week alone, the Petersburg area, we got a couple reports of 8 to 9 inches of snow from that area just in the Saturday and Sunday and Friday. I mean, just a few short days, 8 to 9 inches. And overall, just from January to now, Petersburg is sitting at 29 inches total, and normal for January from first to now is only 7 inches. So you guys are way over amounts for snowfall, and you're sitting at 113 inches of snow so far this season.
Well, I know other places probably have it even a lot worse. I thought I saw one storm report from the Hyder area of something close to 3 feet over the weekend or something like that.
Yeah, and at one point they had 92 inches of snow on the ground at one point. So
wow.
It's definitely been a very cold and snowy season here in southeast Alaska.
Okay. Well, where people are catching up with it, getting it off the roofs, getting the streets somewhat cleared, what's in the near-term forecast for this area?
Yes. Well, you probably noticed the switch in the pattern where we went from the very cold temperatures to now more normal-ish, you know, highs in the 30s to near 40 for the Petersburg area. And it looks like that's going to stay. You know, just these warmer temperatures and highs in the 30s to near 40 degrees, lows not much cooler than that, still seeing lows in the 30s. And so going forward, we're going to hold on to those warmer temperatures. And actually, the Climate Prediction Center holds on to warmer weather for the next 2 weeks. And precip-wise, we're still going to hold on to some chances for some precipitation. We're leaning toward rain mostly for you guys, but there are a little bit of some time periods where temperatures could get just cold enough. We may need to mix in a little bit of snow, but I think overall it's just going to be a cold rain for now. And that will begin Thursday night into Friday, and then Friday into the weekend, a secondary system, a low-pressure system will come in from the south, reinforcing some precip. Still looking at staying just a cold rain for now. But Friday into the weekend, rainfall amounts about 1 to 2 inches, and then Friday into early next week. So just adding on a couple extra days there, rainfall amounts could be 2 to 3 inches. So we're looking at a decent amount of precip heading into the weekend again, but this time instead of snow, it'll be rain.
Any expectation of localized flooding from that?
They are in the works of that because we're now starting to transition where the snow on the ground is packed with moisture. And so now we're starting to concern with, you know, as we continue to melt the snow and then we add more moisture onto it, flooding is a concern. We're working with the River Forecast Center in Anchorage. We're keeping an eye on what's going on just in Juneau itself and then thinking, okay, so that's probably happening elsewhere and we're starting to see ponding here in Juneau. And so yes, there is some concerns for flooding. And we're working with our partners to try to see if we can better locate and kind of narrow down where the flooding is actually happening. So in short, yes, now it's just where is it likely to happen.
Okay, and the forecast does include some pretty strong winds with that system over the weekend, right?
Yes, we are seeing some of those winds picking up speed. But, you know, overall, I think in the Petersburg area, you know, upwards of 20 to 25 knots on the higher end. And so just keep an eye on those if you're going to be going out into the channels and the inner channels. But, you know, overall, just those pickups of those winds when the front comes through Thursday night into Friday and then when the low comes in the weekend, that's kind of the timing of when we'll see those winds pick up.
Okay. Anything else we should know for the upcoming week?
No, just stay plugged into the forecast. As I mentioned, that with those temperatures just cooling down just cold enough to remaining to mix in some of that snow, if we see evidence of it getting colder than that, then we may need to switch our thinking from a cold rain to a snowier pattern. So stay plugged into the forecast over the next couple of days, and we'll narrow down those details.
Thanks, Grant.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And that is National Weather Service meteorologist Grant Smith in Juneau speaking with Joe Vicnicki. For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.